GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show in the Newsmakers Hour, analysis of Governor Janet Mills, candidate for U.S. Senate, in her final state of the state to Maine's House, Maine's Senate, the Judiciary last evening. George, starting our coverage in the Newsmakers Hour, lead Maine State Representative Laurel Libby, the Republican of Auburn, on line one now for GHRT.
Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
We heard a lot last night from the governor. What caught your ear from her final state of the state?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that the state of the state? I thought I was at a campaign speech last night.
We've heard that from others, specifically Republicans, and they wondered how much policy and how much politics, how that would be balanced during the address.
Yeah, it was balanced exactly how I thought it would be. It did not surprise me at all that the campaign played so much into this. Janet Mills has a lot of work to do to prove how extreme she is. She's worked hard to demonstrate that she's the most moderate Democrat in Augusta for years now. And she needs to now out-extreme Graham Plattner. So she has her work cut out for her, and she demonstrated last night that she is willing to go all the way. And by that I mean, say, on the record, healthcare is a human right, and advocate for federal universal health care. At the same time, while working very hard to buy people's vote with their own tax dollars, $300 checks. So all in all, I would say it was exactly what I expected to hear, and not much surprise there.
Were you among the group that took a little hike during the speech?
No, George, I was not. I respect folks' decision to walk out of the chamber, but I do respect the office, and to me that means sitting there and listening. But I understand their sentiment in wanting to leave. Governor Mills is talking about affordability, saying, and I'll directly quote, from healthcare, housing, and utilities to the price of a pickup truck, groceries, and life-saving medications, costs are too high. The fact is, costs are too high because of the policies put in place by Governor Mills and the Democrat majority over the last 7 years. And at different points, that the gaslighting got to be too much for some of my Republican colleagues, and they did walk out of the chamber. I respect their decision, but I wanted to hear what she had to say.
That's the closest she came to making any comment about transgender athletes in girls' sports.
Yeah, you know, Governor Mills, she had a direct line of sight to me in the second row and tried to stare me down as she referenced that if we really wanted to stand up for women and girls, that we would basically support her handing $2.25 million over to Planned Parenthood. I think that that stance is wrong, especially when you look at Maine people and the majority of folks who do not believe that biological males should be participating in girls' sports. But again, she has to pander to the extreme left in order to get the vote in the primary. And so that's who she was talking to last night. She was not talking to the legislature. She was not talking to Republicans, certainly. She was talking to the left that is going to be voting in the primary that she has to win over.
Governor Mills did make a direct statement. I saw that part of it. Her quote was, and I'm not going to go too far, "You want to protect women and girls, then fully fund health care for women and girls." And she went on to say, "Fully fund domestic violence shelters, fully fund sexual assault services if you really want to protect women and girls." That was a direct comment from her during the address. Was she looking at you, or are you staring back at her at that point?
I think certainly she was looking at Republicans on that. And the irony here is she did talk about fully fund a whole bunch of things, including mental health. But backing up here for a second, it's interesting as she's talking about fully fund sexual assault services. There was a Republican bill a couple of years ago that died on the table that would have done just that. And so it's ironic to hear Governor Mills making these statements when her own party has killed some of those things. What she's talking about here is not funding women's health care. She's talking about funding abortion. And so let's draw that line really clearly. The federal government has pulled back funding for Planned Parenthood as appropriate. And Governor Mills is now allocating some of the tax funds that have been taken from Maine people to give that directly to Planned Parenthood. And so that is what the conversation was about last night. And it gets sugar-coated and, you know, kind of glossed over on the left. But that's what we're talking about. That's what she was talking about last night. And no amount of calling it anything else can convince Maine people against the facts. And when that line item goes into the budget, it will be going to cover abortion services at Planned Parenthood.
What she wasn't talking about is any of the allegations and the federal government demand of a reimbursement because of overpayments in Maine care and fraud. Nothing in the state of the state.
Yeah, crickets on that front. Again, not a surprise. I don't expect accountability and transparency from Governor Janet Mills. That has not been her MO for 7 years, so why would she change now? That lack of accountability and transparency, you know, that's a culture that comes from the top. And so when we see that trickle all the way down, we see agencies perpetrating fraud against Maine people. That can't be a surprise when no one is holding them accountable, no one in the majority party. Anyway, there have been attempts to increase accountability. Certainly Republicans, we negotiated to try to ensure that those on Maine care need to be on Maine care, right? That service is going to those in need versus those who are able-bodied and able to provide for themselves. And the Democrats rejected that accountability last session. And so, no, I don't think she's going to go there in the state of the state because that doesn't win any votes. And the entire speech was written to win votes from trying to sugarcoat all of the policies that have increased costs for Mainers to giving out $300 checks that don't even begin to cover those costs to pandering to the extreme left with funds for Planned Parenthood and the call for universal health care. Mm.
State Representative Laura Libby, the Republican of Auburn, we appreciate the insight this morning. We'll catch up with you again soon. Also joining us this morning, State Senator Joe Baldacci, the Democrat of Bangor, running for Maine's 2nd Congressional District. Joe, what did you hear from the governor last night, either politics or policy that caught your ear?
Well, I think that the $300 per person checks, which basically means for most families it's going to be $600, is a great idea. And I think that's a great economic infusion. I think the housing money is a good idea. I think there are several good ideas, and that we're using the money from the rainy day fund and not from the surplus or from other revenues, because that's money that's been built up over the time. So I'm feeling good about her speech about economic issues. I think she's hitting the affordability issue spot on. I'm going to be excited by voting for a tax cut of $300 a person this spring. So I'm looking forward to providing some economic relief for people.
Joe, the major theme was affordability. That's our buzzword these days, aiming to ease the cost of burdens, I guess, on Maine residents. The 300 you talked about to eligible households, that touches about 700,000 people. $70 million to build affordable housing. And there is a problem in Maine to reduce housing costs. What about making free community college permanent, expanding access beyond that original temporary program? You in favor of that?
Well, yes, I am. I think that has been a huge success. I've talked to so many young people and their families about the opportunities that that has provided them in a time when college, university costs are high. This has really provided a great opportunity to middle-class working families to advance their educations or improve their skills. So I am a strong supporter of all three measures because I think they'll make a huge difference for people.
Joe, I've heard you talk about support for rural hospitals in Maine, but I did not hear the governor share any concern for the perils of rural hospitals in her state of the state last night.
Right. And I've worked closely with Eastern Maine and St. Joe's and a number of other hospitals. So that will definitely be an issue because they will need to be significant funding both for nursing homes, veterans homes, and for hospitals to make sure, you know, our healthcare system is, which is fragile, is maintained for people. So I agree that that's an area that does need to be addressed directly. And the other area that I think needs to be addressed is property taxes. We can't ignore the issue of affordability there. I have a bill that passed both chambers unanimously, sitting on the appropriations table to double the homestead exemption. It's sponsored with my good Republican friend Scott Searway, and that needs to be funded and that needs to be signed.
Joe, as we know, it's our final state of the state. Hard to believe it's eight of them. You've been through a bunch of them through the years in Augusta. The state of the state, if you take it in summary, she indicated solid economic foundations, some challenges, housing solutions, education, continued investment in workforce. As our final one as governor, were you happy with it?
Well, I don't know if I'm happy with it. I mean, there's a lot of issues that we still need to address, but I think she's putting forward some solid ideas, but there's still a lot more we need to do. Like I said, on property taxes, on health care, on a number of different areas that we need to continue to press. But I thought it was solid, and I thought she put forward a positive message overall in terms of these issues, and so I was pleased with it.
Joe, there was nothing in there about the Department of Health and Human Services and so many kids dying in state care. Were you expecting any of that?
Well, this is an area where I publicly and severely criticized this administration on. I can't say enough about how poorly they've handled those issues. I've dealt with the child protective system as an attorney and as a guardian ad litem over the last whatever number of years it's been. So I've seen this up close with the court system, and there's more we need to do. I think we need to encourage more kinship care. We need to be placing kids less in foster homes and more in some sort of extended family or family relative, because that really should be a priority. We have too many kids. We have too many kids in foster care right now, and we need. There needs to be clearing the house in the DHHS, because it's not being managed appropriately. You have caseworkers who either aren't trained or aren't sufficiently trained, and the federal audits on this, and not even under the Biden administration, let alone whatever the current administration has said, are not good reviews of DHHS. So that is an entire area where I've been regularly critical. Senator Timberlake and I co-sponsor a bill, and, you know, they couldn't give it the time of day. That's another bill, you know, that I'm proud to work on with a Republican friend on this, because it's not about partisanship, it's about human beings. So I'm going to keep hitting all these issues that I've always hit on and tried to make a difference on with my Republican friends when I can agree with them, and when I can't, I'll go forward with my Democratic friends. But that's a bill, and I commend Jeff Timberlake for his, really, I give Jeff great credit for his work on that, and I've supported him 100% of the way, and we need some major changes there as well.
Joe, we got a final 60 seconds, just 60 seconds. Did the speech have to be as political as it was?
I'm not an advisor to Governor Mills by any stretch of the imagination, so I think we all have our different approach. I'm not going to second-guess her, but my message as a state senator and as somebody going forward, I've got to work on what are the positive things that I can do for people, because we're living in a very negative time. And I'm going to try to focus on positive contributions, what I can offer people. I understand, and I'd like to see us take the temperature down a little bit, because it's not healthy to our overall body politic.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.